Our speaker this morning, for those who weren't here yesterday, is Father Peter Glass. Is a priest in, he's a Polish national, and he works in England. He works as a parish priest up in Reading, and he was exorcist in the Portsmouth Diocese for 10 years. And he has great stories to tell and a man of really deep spirituality. So please put your hands together for Father Peter Glass. That's, can we turn on the timer? Is that? Or Shane? Or Craig? No? Oh yeah, it's on.
Is the microphone a little bit up? I need it up. Yeah, it's not good. Where is the timer? Is it there?
Here's the timer here.
It's 11:45 already.
Oh no, it's only 25.
Okay.
You want to do the prayer first?
Yes, I will say the prayer. Yes, it needs to be high. That's right. Good morning to you. I'm quite a big lad, so I need adjustments to the microphone. Welcome again to those who came yesterday. It was absolutely full house. And welcome to those who come for the first time this morning. It's a pleasure to be here in Ireland and be a part of this amazing conference of the Divine Mercy. I would like to start, and there's been a lot of prayer already said, but I'd like to say a short prayer before my talk. Almighty God, whose hands hold all matters of life, through the intercession of Saint Faustina and Blessed Priest Michał Sopoćko, give us grace of success in the apostolic work that we do at the Divine Mercy Conference this weekend. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Help us to give it the careful thoughts and the strict attention that it will lead to success. Watch over us and govern our action. Show us how to give our best, and let us not despise the toil that is necessary to complete it. Make our ministry be a successful one, in that every duty you give to us, we do it well. Give us the blessing of your help and guidance. We pray for the success of the Divine Mercy Conference, for its speakers, that they be fearless, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and protected from the evil forces. For its benefactors and their families, for all who made it possible, for all who attend, that you touch each one in your most loving, needful, and merciful way. Lord, this is your time. Help us make it possible. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Thank you so much. My dear friends, we talk quite a lot about things we normally don't talk from in our churches. You cannot hear this morning, and Father Pan was brilliant. Father Brendan yesterday, I said big thank you to him and for his power and of his Holy Spirit speaking through him. As we know, not many priests and not the bishops are speaking about things because they don't want to be unpopular. They don't want to lose their sheep. They don't want to be saying, oh, they're old-fashioned man. We moved on. It's a different kind of the world, and the church is changing. Really, is it changing? It's the same stuff all the time. the 2,000 years, we cannot just cross it out and say, sorry, it's all in the past. We have the new faith. This is the faith of our ancestors, the faith of the saints, mystics, martyrs. And we need to speak, my dear friends, the truth. I don't like saying jokes, but I had a nice joke. Would you like to listen? There was a nice joke. It was a widow. Her husband passed away quite a long time ago, but she never ever asked the priest for a mass for his soul. So a priest met her after the mass and said, listen, your husband passed away a long time ago. You never ever asked me to say the mass for him, for his soul. And the widow said, you know, Father, think logically. If my husband is in heaven, he doesn't need any help. If he's in hell, it won't help him. But if he's in purgatory, I know him well. He's tough. He will be okay. But that's people, you know, understand the hell is like a little holiday when it's nice and warm, but it's the way out. It's not. It's not really. We need to help. It does exist. Heaven, purgatory, and unfortunately hell. Those people who say no to God for their lives, and that's it. That's their destiny. That's the choice they have to make. My dear friends, we're living in a quite difficult time. And today I would like to say, I've got just half an hour now, and then we have a prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. But to bring you hope, yesterday I was talking a lot about the state of the church and us and many of us, whether this is in Ireland, in England, in Poland, whenever, in America, around the world, Europe. We need to keep our eyes open and say, come on, this is something is not right. Something is happening. This is the time we're just living the very interesting times, very tough, very difficult. Not just you, laity, but priests as well, bishops. This level of frustration, of the darkness, and lots of questions arising. What's next? And no one has the idea what to say. New evangelization, new way out. With what? Wishy-washy staffing? But if we want to speak the truth, we don't want to be bad boys and say, oh my God, what are you talking about? 21st century, we don't believe in this stuff anymore. There's no more hell, there's no more purgatory. We're all going to heaven. You know this blah, blah, blah stuff repeated all in churches. So today, I would like to just add to this frustration with the gospel. Remember this gospel when Peter was so frustrated and said, Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing. We've worked hard, caught nothing. Those are the words of Simon Peter and the words of perhaps many of you, many of us clergy. We work so hard, and where we are now? In nowhere. So he said, Lord, we tried and tried, but my struggles, your struggles, priest struggles remain the same. Many of us give up. Many of us leave church, leave priesthood and say, that's it, I'm done. I don't want to carry on for any longer. Lord, we have prayed and prayed and nothing has changed. Lord, I have cried and cried, but it seems to be that there's no answer. You do not answer my prayers. What is happening? What is the use? What is the use? So it is like a spiritual apathy, discouragement. But the Lord replies, the Lord says to Peter, put out into the deep water. Put out into the deep water and lower your nets for catch. That is amazing. Deep water, not the gray water, not the water which is satanic, which lots of people put into that water today. Lots of people, like Father Brandon said yesterday, last night with a packed hall, beautiful talk about this witchcraft, new age and stuff that people are getting involved, your children, grandchildren. or being a good Catholic and doing other things as well. I remember I was asked to say, tell you stories, right? One of them, I remember I was a lady brought to me, and she, by her parish priest, thank God he believed, and said, Father, could you help? Because I used to be an exorcist, could you help? Or that lady, she was just baptized. She was received into the Catholic Church. She goes to the Holy Communion. She receives Holy Communion, goes to the confession. She's a very pious member of the Catholic Church. But in 20 years, she used to be a witchcraft woman. She was very high in the hierarchy of witchcraft. She was the instructor. She was the guru training other witchcraft people, witches. But now, big conversion. Now she's baptized, but a little bit she's not feeling well. Sometimes she got the nightmares. She cannot sleep. Something is moving around the house. Father, could you help? So I said, okay. But I think it would be a great trouble. Oh, Father, she was baptized. Everything is in the past. You don't know the theology, baptism, confession, is doing everything, is exorcism. She's fine. I said, I don't think so. She's fine. So anyway, I started praying over her, discernments, then hours, she was saying and renouncing the spirits. And you know, and I said to her, renounce the spirits of so and so. And she was saying the name of Jesus. She couldn't say Jesus. I said, oh my God, where is that conversion? Even a conversion, but what about the, excuse me, is the conversion. But what about the consequences of her action? Father, we don't believe in this stuff. It's all done, dusted. I said, okay. I spent about 7 hours with her, going through all the stuff. And then I said, okay, I got enough of this. You need exorcism. Father, I was just baptized. I said, what? Okay, you are baptized, but you need an exorcism. You've been sitting in this darkness, the water of the satanic water for so many years. How many people learned from you? How many people followed you? Where are their souls going to go? And she said, no. So I said, could you stand up? So I was starting praying over her, and she went down. So I said, can you bring her up? So I prayed again. She went down. Oh, Father, the priest said to me, she's slain in the Holy Spirit. I said, really? I would tell you, this is not Holy Spirit. It's the mimic of the Holy Spirit. That's very often it happens. Mimic of the Holy Spirit. She's not slain the Holy Spirit. So I knelt over her and was praying, and she was like the angel face. And I was saying, God, use my hands and show the truth. And all of a sudden she opened her eyes and said, you so-and-so, F words. You so-and-so, swearing at me. The demons are speaking through her. The priest, where all the hair was up, you know. I said, listen, but this is the very important thing. She was baptized. She was receiving Holy Communion. She was going to confession. She was good Catholic, converted. But the consequences of her, she invited the demons. They need to be kicked out. I had the problems with some priests who say, no, this is nonsense. You go to confession, it's all dusted. Really? Confession is the first step in the conversion. Confession, conversion, confession, deliverance, all exorcisms. You invited it, you need to kick it out. The consequences of your actions are still there. The sins are forgiven, but the consequences are still there. Just to give you how people got involved in the satanic waters. And I think that is everything so simple. Of course, miracles do happen. Sometimes it's enough, just one touch, and people are healed and completely everything is gone. But there are miracles. But very often, it's hard work. So my dear friends, deep water. What is that deep water, Jesus says, is the trust in me. What is impossible for man is possible for God. I can make all things work to good if you but love and trust in me. It's a heavy battle at the moment. Sorry, I need to just... It's just a pure water. My dear friends, it's the heavy battle now. I remember I was in Medjugorje, and it was like a May time, very cold and unpleasant weather. There are lots of elderly people there, no youngsters because of school. And I was, what was happening? And all of a sudden I saw a boy, it was like 15, 16, very nice looking guy, and said, why is he here? There's no children, what is he doing here? But anyway, not my business. I saw him one day, another day, and I was quite curious to ask him, why are you doing here? Why you should be at school? But anyway, I said, not my business. And I was in the confessional box, and I was hearing confessions, and all of a sudden, bang, someone just came in, and it was him. And I said, oh my God, okay, would you like confession? And it was silence. I couldn't hear a word. I said, are you here for confession? Do you want to chat, to talk? What do you want me to do? And it was tears and tears and tears, running, crying and crying and crying. I said, oh my God. So I helped him a little bit. 10 minutes after, he said to me, Father, I'm here. I don't know why I'm in Medjugorje. I don't know why. I said, what do you mean? What are you doing here anyway? Oh, my mom brought me. I'm from New York. My mom just brought me because this is the last chance for me to be healed. I said, oh my God, is that real? What's wrong with you? Oh, I love sports. I love sports, all kinds of sports. I'm a sporty man. But I've been diagnosed with some kind, don't ask me, kind of disease. All the muscles were disappearing, whatever. She said, doctors are giving me a couple of months, and I went out on the wheelchair. And I am here. My mom said, don't worry about the school. I'm bringing you to Medjugorje. This is the last chance. So he made his confession, and I said, okay, I will try to help you, but I will pray for you. He said, thank you, Father. And he said, I don't really believe. I don't know. My mom was praying for me, and she brought me here to Medjugorje. Right away, 2 days later, I saw him coming for masses and not praying, just walking around. But it was my last day, and I saw him just walking. If you were in Medjugorje, you know the statue of the risen Christ. And it was about 10:30, and it was my last night. So I went to that statue to say goodbye. It was the next night, next morning, I was leaving Medjugorje. And I walked in there, and he was sitting there with his hands like this. And I didn't know what to do, to sit next to him, to leave him alone. I didn't know. I was like, should I say a prayer? Should I say goodbye? But I just say, let's sit next to him. So I sat next to him, and I didn't know what to do. And I said, God, what do you want me to do? And I was like, pray for him. So I put my hand, I'm not touching him, just put my hand over his head and started praying. I don't know even what, I was just praying. And all of a sudden, he looked at me and he said, Father Peter, I have to tell you something. I said, what? You know what? I was just sitting here, this is my last night, and I said, God, I don't believe that you exist. I don't believe. You are not here. It's all lie. Nothing happened. I came to this pilgrimage, mom. But if you do exist, give me a sign right now. And you touched me. And I was sitting next to him praying. Well, nothing happened. I said to him, I'm sorry that I disturbed you. I said, no, no, Father. That's okay. I said goodbye. All the best. God bless you. And couple of weeks after I received the email from him, I was completely cured. You know, it's well, why I'm saying this story to you is not about me, it's about his mother, the fighter. She did the fight. She was the fighter. He didn't even believe, you know, the teenagers. He's now 27, 8. I'm still in touch with him. Beautiful young man. Even thinking about priesthood now. I don't know, but it's still okay. He's doing all the sports. But I'm just telling you how powerful is the Lord if you put into deep water. I think that mother threw herself into the the deep water and say, that's it. This is the last chance. Why the Lord used me there, why I was around, I don't know. But by this little prayer, nothing special, the Lord healed him completely. So, my dear friends, now is the moment to do the ridiculous or rather radical thing. This is not time to wait and see, to put out into the deep waters of contradiction and the seemingly impossible to cast the net of faith, to say, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I put all my trust in you. I have nowhere else to go. You are my Lord and you are my God. That's, as I said yesterday, the need of the supernatural faith we need. You, laity, us, priests, the bishops. Not enough is just to believe that God exists, or because I'm Polish, of course I come to church, or you're Irish, or you're Catholic. No, it's my personal choice. As I said yesterday, the word to choose God today when you are, because he does exist. And that's what really struck me when that boy was, I was praying. He said, Lord, if you really exist, I need the sign right now. And through me, he made the sign. So that sometimes we need to just shout out and say, Jesus, I got enough. I don't know what to do. Please help me, heal me, strengthen me. I'm surrendering to you all my life. Everything what is mine, it's yours. So that was that big conversion. I remember when I was a priest halfway through and I was really struggling with many things, and I was just a priest doing my jobs, doing the stuff, but not really involved. I was a sinful man. I was lost. And I was even sometimes thinking, should I go ahead or should I not? Should I really cheat? And remember once I got enough of these retreats, you know, blah, 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 sweetie Jesus, blah, 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 all the same stuff. So I decided to go to the Holy Land. And I went to the Holy Land on my own. I hired the car, 10 days, and I got a mass kit to say the mass, rosary, and the Bible with me. So I stayed in Galilee, and I was traveling all around, praying and praying and fasting all the time. It was so hard. One day, second day, the third day, nothing happened, nothing happened, nothing happened. The day were passing by, and I was getting more frustrated. I was going to the places where normally people don't go. There's no tourists, no pilgrims. And I spent hours with the Bible and the rosary praying, praying. And as you know, nothing happened. And it was a 9-day. I went for 10 days. It was a 9th one. I was saying by the Lake of Gennesaret with my Bible. I say, Lord, this is the waste of time. This is the waste of time. There's nothing. I hope that you speak to me. I hope that something will happen. I was feeling so lonely, so abandoned, so feeling so guilty and filthy about my life. I said, I cannot carry on like this. I was watching just this beautiful lake and say, that's it, I am done. The Lord doesn't talk to me. I'm not the one of this, you know, I had a message. But the first and the last time, that very moment when I shouted, when I was like spiritually casting the net and say on the deep water, and believe me or not, I heard so clearly a message. 3 points. I am not here. I am alive. And whenever you will pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, I will be with you. It was so real. Then I started texting my friends. And I knew there was a time for me to go. I'm not here. This is the historical place. I am alive. And whenever you pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, I will be with you. Do you understand? What else do you need to know that he is with you? My dear friends, it was the beginning of the amazing journey. I'm telling you the stories, the truth. And then I went, remember, to Medjugorje another time. And it was a story where it was a Friday. And they asked me to do the Divine Mercy in the little Divine Mercy church outside Medjugorje. 3 o'clock. Father Peter, could you lead it for the English-speaking pilgrims? I don't know what was happening to me, but I was so angry. I said, I'm not going. Leave me alone. It was another spiritual attack. I didn't understand it. It was a spiritual attack. I'm not going. I don't know why. What do you want me, the Irish priest, American priest, Australian priest? Why are you asking the Pope to go and do the English-speaking Divine Mercy? So anyway, I went there and I was so unhappy. We went to that little church and then nothing worked. Microphone didn't work. There were no books. And I was, my blood pressure was 250, you know. I did the Divine Mercy Chaplet and my friends, Divine Mercy Chaplet. And then I was praying, saying the Mass. And I said to people, whoever wants to be prayed over, stay in the church. So of course, everyone stayed in the church. So I was praying and praying over the people. And all of a sudden, it was the girl. She was English girl. She came up. I knew her because she was a friend of my friend. And I knew that she was using crutches. And she had a very, very rare disease. And she couldn't walk just a little bit. But anyway, I didn't pay any attention. She came up to me, so I prayed over her. But when I was praying, my feet was like locked. I couldn't move. I didn't know. I said, come on, just go. People are waiting. And I could see the people's faces and just, come on, Father, we're waiting, you know. Why are you just praying over the girls so long? So I said, Lord, what's happening? Anyway, I don't know how long it took, but it was a couple of minutes or maybe 5 minutes. And I just was like removed from this lock and I kept going. Anyway, after this, next morning, we went to the Krusevac of the Mountain of the Cross. And we did this, the Station of the Cross, ended up on the top. And all of a sudden, someone said to me, Father Peter, someone wants to talk to you. And it was that girl. It didn't click to me. I said, what do you want? You know, it didn't click to me what the girl who couldn't walk was doing on the top. And you know what happened? And she said to me, Father, I need to talk to you. I said, okay, let's after the Mass. We need to go downstairs, down the thing. After the Mass, let's talk. When she talked to me and she was saying, Father Peter, yesterday I came up to you. I don't know anything about Divine Mercy. You know, I'm just a Christian Catholic, you know, the teenager, nothing about this. And I saw you coming up to me and all of a sudden everything went blank, just black. I couldn't see anything. And then exactly the words she said, and all of a sudden I saw a man coming towards me with like a gingery hair, beard, beautiful like my Alp, but shining, and was like a red sash, and I saw his heart. And she was, I don't know who was it. I said, was it Jesus? I don't know. There was a lovely guy, she said. And all of a sudden, I saw a woman in black. And then in my stupidity, I said, devil? And she said, no. She looked like that nun. You remember that nun? Sister Faustina. And said, and what next? And then this man, called him Jesus, said to me, believe in me. And never break away. Believe in me and never break away. And that on that instant she was healed. Isn't that a message? Isn't that a beautiful message? Say different way, Jesus, I trust in you. Believe in me and never break away. When I was doing the retreats for priests or whenever at conferences, I always was saying this. This is the message for you and me. Not the healing is important, but the message. In this time of darkness, chaos, and confusion in the world, politics, church, to say, believe in me, never, ever break away. Because my time is running out, would like just to mention Father Dolindo, amazing man from Italy who died in 1970, the servant of God now, man who for 20 years couldn't celebrate the Holy Eucharist. He was suspended. He wrote tons of books. He was the last prisoner of the Vatican. He couldn't say the Mass. He stayed obedient. He suffered so much. And he had the interlocution, Jesus. He was writing this beautiful prayer, which I'm going to use today before the Blessed Sacrament, of total abandonment to Jesus. Jesus dictated him this prayer. When I went to Father Dolindo, Google him, pray that prayer. I'm leaving it with you to Ireland. Father Ritual, Dolindo, Rituolo Dolindo is the saint. He was the friend of Padre Pio. We all know Padre Pio, but Father Dolindo is for us, for priests. When we are mortified, when we are persecuted for speaking the truth, but we are persecuted from outside and inside the church, Father Dolindo is the saint for this time, Rituolo Dolindo. And the man said, when you die, when I die, when I'm buried, come to my tomb and knock, and I will answer you. Trust in God. It's the little inscription on his tomb. And last May, I was taken by my publisher to Naples. That's where he's buried. And you know, I had another rough time. Satan was attacking me. And I said, come on, I cannot do it anymore. I'm done. I'm going to you, Father Dolindo, and you promised. So I was kneeling down. I went there. There was no one there. Just one or two people just walking around. And I knelt next to his tomb. And I said, Father Dolindo, as you promised, speak to me today. I am knocking. And I knocked a couple of times. Knocked. And I sat down. And I was sitting there completely idle, doing nothing, not praying. And all of a sudden, a woman sat next to me. And I looked at her and said, oh my God, what do you want? Another prayer, you know? Leave me alone. And she said all of a sudden to me, believe me, her words. She tapped me and said, are you Father Peter Glass? I said, yes. And she said to me, you know, Father, never give up. Speak the truth. He is with you. What's the chance that I was there in that church, outskirts of Naples, she was there, and we just banged together. She sat next to me without knowing that I was praying through Father Dolindo. He answered for me just 2 minutes after my prayer. He answered, don't give up. He knows it's hard, it's difficult, but don't give up. And the last message before I need to finish is the rosary. It's the rosary. Please keep praying the rosary. He was praying rosary all the time. He is the saint for your time. He's the saint. Don't give up like the mother of that boy. Pray for your children. Pray all the time because they are getting lost. The suicidal level is rising. Drugs, alcohol, sex, pornography. The devil is at his strongest now. This is the weapon of then St. Louis de Montfort, the true devotion. Please do the consecration to Our Lady. It's not another devotion. Oh, Father, I've been consecrated. No. Live the consecration. I've been talking on the conferences around the world, in Poland, my country, thousands of people consecrating lives. It's a very rough time. The devil will kick you. The devil will do everything you to stop, but become the slave of Jesus through Mary. Saint Louis Maria de Montfort. Father, go before priests to understand the time we're living in. Otherwise, we'll all be gone. Keep the rosary. This is my man's rosary made of parachute cord and the real bullets. This is the bullets. The devil hates it. I cannot tell you more stories about it because the time is up. But please pray the rosary. Consecrate to Jesus and he will be with you always. can't believe the Holy Spirit just finished on time. But just a few words. Please be seated. Once again, because it's not being recorded, but please do the consecration, St. Louis them on four. This is not just, oh, I consecrated my life many times. No, believe me, it's not. This is the time for this time, for the apostles of the last times, for you, for priests, for the bishops, for the apostles who have to face that evil he's now fighting with us. So consecrate your life to Jesus Christ through Mary. Read the True Devotion book. It's 400 years old, but it's for this time. And the priest, Father Gobi, the Marian movement, this is another book, which is Our Lady spoke through Father Gobi. And I hope one day he will be a saint as well. But this is the message for us and for all of us in this time of darkness, not to give up. She is with us. We all go through rough times. I had so many times when I just wanted to say, that's it, goodbye, a waste of time. But each time I tried to do it, I believe that she was picking me up and saying, come on, get up, giving me the signs. And probably you will receive a lot of signs in your life as well. But mothers, grandmothers here, if you really struggle with your children, they don't go to church, when they are absolutely now away from God, morally and everything, faith-wise, never ever give up praying for them. Protect them. I'm talking about salvation, not just well-being and healing for now, but I'm talking about my salvation, your salvation, their salvation, eternity. This is a massive battle is on. It's a raging battle. We are not really prepared. So Jesus, I trust in you. There's going to be a very short testimony now, but during the prayer with the Blessed Sacrament, I will use Father's Dolindo's prayer, what Jesus said through him, okay? So when we pray, just think about every single word I would say, because they were dictated by Jesus to Father Dolindo, a holy man, the man of suffering, a man who stayed faithful right to the end. Thank you for listening.